if I stay in something, even though I know it makes me feel a certain way, that's then my responsibility and not my partner's responsibility. And I'm not saying it's always that easy to walk away, because we all know it's not. We've all been in a situation where it's not, but no one can walk away for you.
Welcome to the Wild Hearted podcast. The Wild Hearted is a safe and inclusive space of guidance and resources for mental health, sex positivity, self-love, authenticity, and confidence. Follow us on this podcast as we learn from sharing our own experiences through wildly honest conversations. I'm Shanin, a psychology student, creative, and woman seeking out her authentic self in life and in relationships.
I'm Katarina, a self-love tantrika and dharma coach with a passion for traveling. My purpose is to be a source of support and guidance for anyone who strives to build an intimate, kind, and loving relationship with themselves. My training includes tantra, life coaching, yoga, reiki, and I'm currently obtaining my master's in psychology.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm gonna stop this.
No, I was just gonna say, you always start with this a little sing-songy good morning. It's cute. I have some events that happened between now and our last recording that I would like to share with the Wild-Hearted tribe. And I've been thinking about a few things in terms of my relationship and how I was versus how I am. And I think it would be nice to kind of go over it together and see what lessons we can get out of it as a community. So recently what happened is my ex-boyfriend from 5 years ago that I dated for about 7 years came into town, and we had not spoken. We were not on speaking terms. We have mutual friends and they were all out. And for some reason I decided that I was like healed enough to go join them for dinner and interact with him and see him again and speak to him, and everything would be totally chilled and fine.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of was. definitely wasn't as triggered as I thought I would be. But a lot of things did come up, which I think would be important to discuss. So we went for dinner. We had a few drinks. We found ourselves having a little catch up in the corner and having a conversation about our relationship and how it was in the past. And there was a lot of like reflecting on, you know, things that wouldn't work, things that would work. But the bottom line is I found myself thinking like, you know, I want to be in a relationship again. And this was my last very serious relationship. Like I've been in others, but nothing that I would count as impactful as this one.
Mm. So this is the relationship we talked about in our breakup episode. Your last real heartbreak, your last real relationship. When you shared a life together.
Exactly. And there was a lot, like there was a future that I saw with this person, and we had a business together, and we had a life together, and we had a dog. So anyway, the point that I want to kind of get across today is having this conversation after such a long time, I realized that there are so many elements that were quite easy for me to see we were not compatible on. Obviously I've changed as a person, but there were a lot of ways that I looked at him and I thought, he was exactly like that back then. And I knew that I didn't really enjoy those aspects of him. Not that he's a bad person at all. He just isn't for me. And I was very able to see that now. But I was not at all able to see that when I was in the middle of my relationship. And even at the end of the relationship, when I knew that these things weren't okay, or not something that I could long-term kind of live with, it felt so difficult for me to let go of because, well, I don't know why. I'm guessing there's love changes the way you think logically about a lot of things. And the hope and expectations that you have also kind of make it harder to let go. Mm-hmm. So going into the future, I want to figure out how I can kind of objectively pause every now and then, if this is even possible, in a relationship as I'm getting to know someone and figure out like, is this something that can change? Is this something that I can learn to live with? Or is this a sign that maybe this relationship isn't for me and isn't working? I know that it's probably a very, very long shot to come up with a safe plan to live a relationship with him, that I can spot the signs and run away as soon as I need to. But I think it might be nice to see if we can give people the power to just be able to reassess every now and then and check in with themselves and their relationship.
So what you want to talk about today and what you're looking for, from what I'm understanding, is basically a strategy to figure out if you should stay or if you should go throughout the relationships rather than waiting to the absolute breakdown of it.
Exactly. Like, how are we finding these points? How are we feeling within ourselves? What are kind of triggers that we need to be checking in on with ourselves in order to make sure that we're not being, I don't want to say blind. Look, love is such a complicated thing. Like, obviously this isn't going to be a fail-proof solution, but I think going back into a relationship, it would be nice to know that I'm not going to lose these tools of being able to assess how I'm feeling a little bit more objectively. Help me. Give me the answer.
Help me. Fix me.
I need your guidance, wise one.
Okay, let's look at it from an outsider perspective, you know. Then let's take that relationship you talk about now as an example. When you were in it, you said you were in a relationship for 7 years. Now looking back at it, how many years should the relationship actually have been?
Yo, I want to say probably not more than 4 years.
Okay.
So I think probably, actually jokes, 2 years.
jokes.
2 years in, there was a loss of trust. Something happened and I didn't feel... like, I knew the whole story about whether he was being entirely faithful to me, but I had no actual proof. Actually, I did have kind of proof. I had messages on his phone, which I went through. But I decided that I can forgive this and we can move on. But it definitely was kind of a starting point of a lack of respect that we had for each other. Mm-hmm. And a lack of trust. Almost, it was weird. It was almost like, not that there was a lack of trust, but it was like, I lost respect for him to the point where I didn't necessarily care that much anymore. I knew that if it was going to happen again, I'd be like, whatever, I don't care, which is interesting. So technically, maybe the relationship shouldn't have lasted that long. That being said, it was still really good up until year four, year five. And then it started to deteriorate because I would say we very much lost each other in the relationship. Like, I lost who I was, he lost who he was. We were just, our only identity was being this unit together. Mm-hmm. And obviously that wasn't healthy. So to ignore, I think, a lot of things because I wanted to be in a relationship with him.
That you wanted to be in a relationship with him, or that you wanted to be in a relationship? Because at this point, you're also so used to it.
That is true. Look, I'm not someone, this is the longest I've ever been single since I was able to date boys or realize that I wanted to date boys. It was, since I was allowed to, since my dad said it was okay to have a boyfriend, basically.
You had a boyfriend before your dad said it's okay.
Yeah, that's,
I know you.
Probably true. I suppose I was very used to being in a relationship. I didn't really know what life looked like just being on my own. And it was nice having somebody to do things with, like not necessarily just the intimate stuff, but it was nice having kind of a best friend that's always on call. Because when I was single, I would notice that my friends would get into relationships and I would lose touch with them. You know, like they'd be busy with their boyfriend and I didn't have a boyfriend to keep me busy. And at that stage, I had no hobbies really. I would go to gym and I would go to varsity. And then that was pretty much all I really did on my own for myself. So I had nothing to do other than hang out with my boyfriend and his friends.
So your whole life was built around the relationship.
Yeah. So I think it made it harder for me to realize that like I could be okay if I was not in this relationship because I hadn't built up my life outside of it. I had nothing to go to. I couldn't remove myself and say, okay, here's X, pathway X with Vincent. Here's pathway Y on my own. Pathway Y was nothing. Like there was nothing there. So I obviously made the decision that even though there are obstacles on pathway X, it's much more worthwhile going to because the other alternative is literally nothing.
It's the unknown, and the unknown is always scary. You know, it's like rather the devil we know than the devil we don't know. That's why a lot of people stay in relationships, even if they're just mediocre. They don't necessarily have to be toxic or abusive, but mediocre, and they clearly do not make it. Like, they do not add to your overall well-being or happiness, but we just stick it out because we're scared or we're uncomfortable into moving into something new where we don't know where that would head. Or where it would go and how long we could be single or if we ever find someone again and all that jazz, basically. So that's kind of very natural, decision, you know? And it's often that we don't even make it consciously with it.
We do go with it. But I don't know about you, but like if I look back, I do feel that I did have this like niggling kind of gut instinct somewhere underlying saying like, this isn't okay. Like this isn't going to end well. It's not going to end well, but like, this is something you should be aware of. Like this is alarm bells kind of going off in the distance. And at the very end, looking back, I was able to see that every time I had that little feeling, it was definitely something that accumulated into a bigger reason for ending the relationship, and it definitely contributed to that. So even though yes, like it was easier to go with the flow, I could definitely feel the sense there that like this is something to be aware of, but I was too afraid, or thought that the fear was actually love, and I was like, I can look past this because I love him and I want to stay here with him.
That's an interesting point you made there. Did you say that the fear was actually love or that the love was actually fear?
So what I'm thinking is like when I felt fear, maybe I was telling myself that this is actually love. Like I'm not leaving. I'm not wanting to not leave because I'm scared. I'm wanting to not leave because I'm in love with him. And yes, I was in love with him, but I was probably more scared. And I thought, it's okay. You know, even though like this isn't right for me, I love him so much that I could either see past it or we can change or we can figure it out in a way that I'm sacrificing small things to make it work. And that's love.
And then that's the small things like accumulated and became bigger and bigger and bigger until the cartos basically tumbled down.
Yeah. And I was like, this isn't the person that's right for me. Like I shouldn't have to be making this many sacrifices and neither should he. Like I really wasn't a nice girlfriend at the end of it anyway. Because we just, I think we were clinging to something that just wasn't working. But okay, how do I see these things in the relationship? Like, do you think now that I'm better? Well, fuck, am I better as a person?
All unicorns, rainbows, and butterflies from now on.
Is now that I have more, I'm more whole on my own.
Yeah.
Does it feel easier to kind of step back and say to yourself, I could be okay if I walked away from this relationship. So let me thoroughly assess it and see if it is right for me.
I mean, look, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to decipher the past, not to take it apart, but to actually take out what the learnings we can take from it and the growth from it and implement it into the now and into the more aware, wholesome version of yourself, or the present version of yourself. So the fact alone that you're asking those questions show that, you know, you've been learning already and you've been growing, and you're like, okay, I know I've been in this situation. I was in a 7 years relationship. To be fair, it should have been 2 years, maximum 4 years, you know. I had those niggling feelings, but I ignored them. And then you came to the conclusion, or the epiphany, that you ignored them, or that the technique you use to ignore them is that you told yourself that the fear you're feeling from the unknown and from walking away from the relationship is actually like love. So that you dressed it up in a different wording and in a different feeling to justify staying. You have identified all of these behavioral patterns already. So by knowing that and being aware of it, but once you like in your new relationship, you know, you just have to keep practice the opposite of what you've done back then. Basically, you know, like, you know what you've done back then, and you know it was not healthy and it took you down a rabbit hole. But you know that. And with the knowledge and with the awareness of it, you can actually work with it.
Can I though? Like, I feel it's easy to say when I'm not in a relationship and I'm looking at hypothetically, yeah, sure, I'll be very level-headed and I'll be able to see all these things coming. But I know myself, even when I'm slightly infatuated with somebody that's like new and shiny, I let a lot of things slide because I'm excited, you know?
So here's the thing, you're making assumptions. You're making assumptions about how you're going to react and act once you're in a relationship. And truth to be told, you have no idea how you're going to be and if you can or if you can't until you're actually in the situation.
Yeah, but I don't like to not be prepared. I can't just go in blindly and be like, well, we're just going to wing it. And like, if I get heartbroken, look, the whole point of this conversation.
To a certain extent, you have to.
Stop myself from getting hurt? The answer is
yeah. No, that's not the point of the conversation. I'm mean, having two very different conversations if that's your point. You're now not on the same wavelength today then, because this is how to get stop myself of being hurt is not the point of this conversation.
I know.
The point of this conversation is how to learn to check in throughout the relationship if you and your partner still align. If the relationship is still something that is worth pursuing for both sides, not only for you, there's another party in it as well, you know, and to see if both of your needs are met.
I think it probably, yes, you are right. Firstly, I'm not trying to just avoid heartbreak. I'm trying to learn some tools to be able to assess my relationships and make sure that they are healthy and good for me.
I mean, I think a relationship can be, this is going to sound very weird, especially coming from me. You know how in corporates, they have performance reviews at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Okay. I know this sounds really dry and not romantic and doesn't sound like me at all because I do not talk that much. But it is a similar concept, you know. I think it's a very healthy practice to every few months check in with your partner and make me even like an open conversation about it. You know, it's like, how are we both doing? How are we feeling about the relationship? How can we hear each other and understand each other better? How can we open up space for each other better? Just having like these kind of conversations, I think, is a very healthy practice to have. And I think it's even healthier to do it maybe like on your own first and then communicate it. Like, it could be like every 3 to 6 months date night kind of vibe. Because things change, you know, and like life happens and we will not always be on our best, but just let's say I'm going through something and for 3 to 6 months, I'm like struggling and I'm struggling to hold space for my partner or create space in my life for my partner. And I'm simply not as much there as I should be, you know, that doesn't mean that the whole relationship has to end, but it has to be like, we can check in and it's like, listen, your performance review of the last 6 months was actually crappy because you didn't show up to work. You
know? Took a lot of sick days.
But you know what I mean? Once again, and we say this in every single episode, it comes down to awareness of yourself and honesty with yourself, and then as much honest and open communication with your partner.
Yeah. I really like that you say that, to kind of to set up from the beginning that channel of communication. Mm-hmm. That's like, we're going to do this non-judgmentally. And I like how you say it as performance review, because it almost makes it a little bit less feel like a personal attack. It's like, it's not that you do this and you're like that and I hate when you do this, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, this behavior is not something that I want in a relationship.
Mm.
So then you can realize that you can still love the person, but not enjoy how they treat you. And when you can separate those two things, maybe you are more able to kind of stand up for yourself, instead of being worried that you're offending your partner by attacking who they are and making them think you don't love them.
From my personal experience, I learned that the words we use, especially in these kind of scenarios, are very, very important, because when you constantly say, you do this, you do this, you do this, you shift the blame as well. You put the blame on the other person, because in the end of the day, it is you. It is your emotional household and it's your feelings. And taking the attack out will show you that it's actually your responsibility as well, how you want to deal with it. Like, do I want to constantly feel like this? I can't change how my partner acts. You know, I can communicate how it makes me feel, but to change that behavior is up to my partner if that aligns with the person.
Yeah.
But I have to take responsibility. If I stay in something, even though I know it makes me feel a certain way, that's then my responsibility and not my partner's responsibility.
Shitty. Yeah. And I suppose you can look at it that way and say, yes, I still love this person, but this way I'm feeling is not something I want for my life. And now I have to make a decision whether I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to let go of this boundary and let myself be treated like this. But then, you know, it sounds quite harsh to say, but if then you're staying in a relationship where you know that you're not happy and you know that this behavior is not for you, it is partly your responsibility. Like, if you're not walking away, you're letting it be.
It's not only partly your responsibility, it is full on your responsibility. You have to make the decision. No one can make the decision but yourself to stay around or to leave. And if you stay around, that is part of that is your responsibility, and you have to take that responsibility. And I'm not saying it's always that easy to walk away, because we all know it's not. We've all been in a situation where it's not, but no one can walk away for you.
Yeah.
And you can blame your partner as long as you want. You are the one who chooses to stay.
That is so, yeah. I mean, like, as harsh as that sounds, it is 100%.
It's very hard.
And I can understand there's so much fear, like you said earlier, rather the devil you know than the devil you don't. Mm. Because I know however scared he might make me feel, or the abuse, I'm familiar with it. I know what I'm in
for. Exactly.
And I can see, and I could mentally prepare myself to cope. But leaving and being worried about, like you said, the unknown, somehow feels even more terrifying, that you would rather just say, okay, well, let me just deal with this until I figure out what's happening if I leave. Like, you are never going to know if you walk away. You're never going to know how you feel. You're never going to know how you will react. It is something that you just have to kind of go through, I suppose, if you are making a decision to leave a relationship that's not for you. I think you have to be mentally prepared that it's going to be fucking rough for, like, depending on how long the relationship was, like, you need to know that it's not going to be easy, but it will eventually be better.
Well, you have to make the choice for it to get better, you know. It was a podcast, actually. I think it was the one about relationship anxiety you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And something has been said, which I found highly interesting, and it was, I just want to make sure that I get this point right. It was that some people, you know, like they identify themselves with the victim in any kind of relationship. So they will actually also seek out relationships where they feel mistreated. Let's put it that way. Let's not take it to another level. Where they feel mistreated. Yeah. So they can be like, oh, poor me, you know. Look how it was get. That's my role. And that's how they identify themselves. And that's secretly like what they kind of thrive on, you know?
And I think it's also just maybe what they are used to in like you said, from previous relationships, probably from family dynamic or modeling of what they've seen from their parents. They know.
Attachment. Styles, yeah. Exactly. So that's the point I tried to make. For whatever reason it is, you can have taken on this role and this identification for yourself. But that doesn't mean you have to stick with it or you have to be like this for the rest of your life. You know, you can work and choose actively to break the pattern, to break the role, to break the identification. But you have to choose it and you have to put the work in it. When you say you can leave the relationship and it might be rough in the beginning or it's guaranteed to be rough in the beginning, but it will get better. It will actually only get better if you choose for it to get better, if you choose to get better, or you will be stuck in the victim role. It's choices we make.
I had to very actively decide and I don't want to be rebelling for my relationship anymore and like, you know, throwing myself into rock bottom all the time and thinking it's the only way to cope. I definitely had to take a good look at my behavior and, like you said, my role in things and decide, was I going to keep saying, you know, poor me, this has happened to me, this is the only solution I know, this is the only way I know how to cope, and say, okay, well, what is my involvement in it and how can I make things better for myself? Because, yeah, I suppose eventually you become your own, like, abusive boyfriend, you know, like I'm treating myself like shit.
You become your own abuser.
Yeah. And then I had to realize, and I think a big part of it being really hard to leave a relationship is not having a sense of self-worth, not having enough of a sense of self-worth to say not only that, like, other people shouldn't treat me this way, but I should treat myself in a better way. I should have more respect for who I am than to let this happen or to allow myself to be in this space.
You know that about me. Like, my philosophy is that the love we have for ourselves and the relationship we have for ourselves is the base camp for the love we accept and allow from others. I know that I can love other people way more than I love myself because I've done it before. But I also realized that I can only allow someone to love me to the extent I love myself, because I wouldn't trust anyone to love me more, you know. So it took all this work and all this connecting with myself to actually really allow people to love me.
And I think, like, getting into a relation, like, you know, I love that we're at this point, not because you're like a guinea pig, but it's so nice to, you know, like, you're getting into a relationship now, you know, and you've done all this work and you've got this level of self-love, and it's now an interesting challenge for you not to lose that while being in a relationship. Like, sorry, but it is fascinating.
That's okay. I'm glad I'm entertaining and you.
But we can, what's nice is we can have these check-ins and these conversations, and we can sit now together and decide, how are you going to make sure that you don't lose your sense of self and your, and the love that you have for yourself, so that when your partner is behaving in a way that doesn't align with it, you are still able to see it? Because obviously, just because it's day to day doesn't mean you're going to still acknowledge this love for yourself in 3 weeks' tomorrow. Time.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. It is a continuous practice and it's continuous work, and it's a continuous, what did I call it the other day? An emotional salsa dance.
Yes, I love that.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
It's almost like if I had to think about going into a relationship, it mm-hmm. would require a sense of discipline from my part to make sure yeah. that I don't lose that. And as nice as it might feel to give in and commit all my time to my partner and do whatever they want to do, and it makes me happy at the time and it makes me feel good to do that, I have to have like the foresight to know that long term, I'm going to regret this because I'm mm. going to, not because I'm forced to, but because I'm willingly letting parts of myself go because I think that this is what love is. I need to actively decide that even though I don't want to, I have to force myself to leave him so that I can go and have coffee with my friends or spend time on my own doing journaling or meditation, whatever it may be. If I don't force myself to do it, I'm not going to be happy further down the line.
I can't remember what we talked about, but I remember you saying that you are very worried that because right now you're hyper independent and you have like all your little rituals in place. You know, you wake up, you meditate, you do your journaling, all of that, you know.
Yeah.
And you actually don't want to date someone because you don't want to mess anyone with that routine, you know. It's like, yeah. Okay, everyone, like, I got it sorted. But it took you, but some I want to go with this, like, you know, like setting all of these tools and rituals and habits up took discipline and took work and took time. Mm. And to combine it now with waking up next to someone and wanting to cuddle and have some morning nookie, but at the same time also making sure that you get your journaling time in. It's just like yeah. rearranging your timetable and being disciplined in a different way and finding what works mm. in a new scenario.
I think what I have to realize is that being in a partnership with someone must require compromise. And I have this strange idea that somehow I can have the love of my life and not have to compromise a single thing at the same time.
For the fact that you're quite hardcore, you're also a little bit naive. Eh? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think I'm realizing that obviously that's not the case. As
I'm glad you're realizing that.
And do you know what the thing is? I wouldn't even want a partner who did that for me. I wouldn't want a partner who sacrificed everything and gave up in their entire life to be with me. I would think you need, you know, I would want to be attracted to you for your independence and for your identity. And if you were like just shedding every sense of who you are to be my partner, I would find that slightly off-putting and a little bit weak. So I don't know why I feel that this is something that I would do, or like, or maybe it is because I have done it in the past, but definitely the more we speak, the more I'm realizing that I have learned more than I think I have.
Yes.
And I would probably be more prepared when I get into the situation.
Look, you're not the same Shanine anymore than you were all those years ago. You're a very different person, you know, and your partner is going to be a very different person. So you can't make assumptions of how you're going to react or how you're going to be, or that you're going to be the same, because more likely than not, you won't.
Yeah.
You only will really know how much you can implement and how aware and how disciplined and how this and how that you are going to be when it's actually happening. And then you make the choices consciously or unconsciously. You know what to do. Now, it's just about implementing it. Well, easier said than done, but yeah
I suppose I'm thinking in a way like there must be some kind of guideline that I can create for myself, or like a tool.
There's no manual. There's no manual. It's not like, I don't know, it's not a fridge that comes with a manual or a microwave. There's no engine which works a certain way and you do like fix certain things and then it will roar again.
I also need to realize is that like this theory, not theory, but the imagery you have of like the salsa dance, like if I do make a mistake and I let go of a boundary for a little while, that's also fine. I can definitely backtrack and definitely like not all is lost and I've ruined everything and I have to start all over again. I can retrace my steps and, you know, correct a situation. I think I worry that like if I get into a relationship, as soon as I've messed it up, I'm like, oh, no, it's gone. You gotta find a new
Here
guy.
Here we go again. Starting from new. Fuck my life.
confused me. I just don't seem to be very good at this.
You can look back at your old relationship now and take it for what it was and know what to take from it and know what to leave behind.
Yeah.
It's all part of the story.
Yeah, I'm feeling calmer.
I'm glad. You are very capable. You're very capable and very worthy. And I love you.
Thank you.
Look how cute you're getting. All shy. What's going on with you today?
I really think about these things, you know, and I have, like, there's a lot of people get into relationships and they have the same feelings of, you know, of worried about leaving or worried about whether this is right for them or not. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying about you are worthy and you do have value and you can trust yourself, like, it's something that more people need to hear than we think. And honestly, that's probably the biggest lesson out of this whole conversation, is that you are worthy and you can trust yourself.
Yes. So to our whole wild-hearted tribe, you're worthy, you can trust yourself, and you're deserving. And just listen. Listen within yourself and listen to your surroundings. You'll know.
If you give yourself that little bit of peace to step away and just reflect, usually you know the answer. That's a very good point to end.
So as always, if you like this episode, please follow, share, send it to your friends and your family, and give us a follow on Instagram at We Are The Wild Hearted. Check out our website, thewildhearted.net, or reach out via email at heyder@thewildhearted.net. Yay!
Yay! And don't forget, you can watch us on YouTube now as well.
I keep forgetting about that.
See all my cute reactions that cats do.
Yeah, see him blush. That doesn't happen often, guys.
No, it really doesn't.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Wild Hearted Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, like, follow, and share, and visit our website at www.